Blog Talk Radio.
Right. We are on the air for Fan for Racing with Catch Fence NASCAR weekend preview, and this is Thursday night, November the 19th. And Brian Eberle, our Fan for Racing writer, is here with me as we preview our last race of the season, Brian.
Hey, Sharon, how you doing? Thanks for having me on again. Yeah, we a little, I guess, exciting and sad at the same time because we'll have a winter here with no racing for several weeks. But I think we should be in for some excitement at Homestead Miami this weekend.
I agree. I think it's going to be an exciting weekend. And you're right, it is bittersweet because we love racing and we always hate to see it come to an end at the end of the season. But we know that they're going to be back at it and racing again come the end of January, beginning of February with testing and getting ready for Daytona. So definitely looking forward to the holidays. But this weekend, we are really looking forward to some fantastic racing at Homestead Miami Speedway. excuse me. Now, at 9 o'clock, Brian, we do have a guest that's calling in, and I'm kind of excited about it. We've had him on the show before, but Johnny Davis with JD Motorsports with Gary Keller is going to come on and chat with us a little bit about the 2015 season. And also he's going to chat a little bit about maybe what's in store for the 2016 season. So I'm kind of looking forward to that and can't wait to hear more from him. Now I want to also mention that calling in tonight is going to be our co-host, Chris Knight. He's at Homestead Miami Speedway this weekend, and we're hoping to hear from him at some point during the show tonight so that he can kind of tell us a little bit about what's going on there. They had a big media day there today, Brian.
Yep, all four championship drivers had a chance to address the media and kind of give their thoughts going into this weekend.
Okay. Now, if you can kind of, I don't know if you've had a chance to kind of review some of the transcripts yet, but I need to screen a call here, and I'm going to ask you to talk for a few minutes while I do that screening.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think. I think it's a little bit different than last year. You know, it seems like some guys played some head games with Harvick trying to get Logano's head and so on and so forth at last year's media day. This year, it seemed like all four of them kind of handled it with a calm, professional, laid-back tone. You know, kind of Harvick, his typical self, joking around a little bit, saying that, you know, no one wanted to say anything inappropriate at Jeff Gordon's last press conference. And Kyle Busch saying that if he couldn't win it, he wanted to see Gordon win it. Gordon saying if he didn't win it, he wanted to see all three of the remaining guys going side by side to win. So I think it was, you know, everyone showed kind of respect for each other, and everyone kind of talked about how no one wants to be taking anyone out for the win. That's not really the way that they want to win the championship. So I think we got a chance to kind of, you know, see everyone's mindset going into this weekend. And like I said before, I think that, you know, as crazy as this chase has been, and, you know, maybe as weird and wacky, and we've got a fantastic final four drivers with a great storyline behind each of them that really I don't think that NASCAR can go wrong with having any of those four guys as champions this weekend.
Okay, I am back. I'm sorry, I had to kind of take a little moment away there for a few minutes. I had a caller call in. He is going to call back at 9 o'clock when Johnny Davis comes on, so we'll take care of that then. There's some kind of exciting things going on this weekend, so we're definitely looking forward to chatting with Johnny Davis about that. So I'm sorry I missed what you said, though, Brian.
Oh, no worries. I just kind of ran through what I kind of thought of the four guys this weekend and talking about how we've got four great storylines. No matter who we end up with as a champion, I think will be fantastic. And this year's media day was a little bit different than last year, with some guys trying to play some head games with each other. This year, it seemed like they all kind of showed, you know, respect for one another. Gordon said that if he couldn't win it, he'd want to see the other three drivers side by side for the victory and the championship. And you know, Kyle Busch was saying if he doesn't win it, he wants Gordon to win it because he's kind of his childhood hero. So, I mean, I think it was kind of neat to see that side of it. And I think we've got four great guys that have a chance for a championship, and it should be great no matter which one pulls through.
You know what, just hearing you talk about it, Brian, gives me some chills, because I think it is pretty exciting to hear, you know, that kind of respect between the drivers and the final four drivers that are competing for the title this season. I think it's fantastic. You know, to have that much respect to wish, if you can't win it, that you want one of the other guys to do it. I think it's fantastic, and you're absolutely right. Any one of those drivers winning the championship this season is going to be a fantastic storyline about their path to getting here. I think we couldn't ask for a better group of the final four, in my estimation.
Yeah, exactly, especially with how controversial points of the chase have been this year, and you know, I guess different kind of compared to how last year's chase went down leading up to the finale. I think that, you know, we still got four great drivers with great storylines to watch and to write about on Sunday.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we're going to get to the Sprint Cup Series because there is quite a lot to talk about there. But I also don't want to forget that we also have the Camping World Truck Series racing tomorrow night. We have the Xfinity Series racing on Saturday. And then the Sprint Cup Series guys are going to go to the track and race on Sunday, and that's when we're going to know who our final champion is for the 2015 season. So it's going to be a pretty interesting weekend here. And you know what's also interesting, Brian, is that all three of these races, although we think we might have a good idea who the champion's going to be, we really don't know who the champion's going to be yet.
Right, yeah, exactly. Nobody has clinched in any of the top three series for the Drivers' Championship, so anything, as we've seen all year, and can happen when they take to the track, so it'll be great to watch them from the trucks on Friday to the Cup on Sunday. Again, barring any rain, hopefully everything goes off as planned. The forecast looks a little less than ideal for Sunday down there at Homestead, so hopefully they're not stuck battling the rain yet again.
Absolutely. I'm hoping we don't run into rain delays this weekend. It was quite a long rain delay last weekend, and, you know, nobody likes to see, you know, a championship run race kind of in the way that it did. But at the same time, I think everybody understands why it happened the way that it happened. But let's go ahead and start our preview with the Camping World Truck Series, and then we'll get into the Xfinity Series. The Camping World Truck Series is racing their Ford EcoBoost 200 at Homestead Miami Speedway this weekend, Friday, November the 20th. It's going to be televised on Fox Sports 1 at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, with a green flag sometime around 8 p.m. They're racing 201 miles, 134 laps. And the guy who's leading the points right now is a little bit of a surprise in some respects, but not in other respects. Eric Jones is leading the points. We kind of anticipated that maybe Matt Crafton would gain some points last week. And instead it went the other direction. And so now Jones is pretty much in a battle with Tyler Reddick at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And all Jones has to do is go out there and finish 15th. And regardless of what Reddick does, Jones will be the 2015 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion. And just to kind of put that in perspective, in 22 races this season, Jones has finished lower than 15th just once. That was at Gateway Motorsports Park back in June. He actually led the most laps in that race, but he and Crafton got together in a late race accident with, I think, about 15 laps left, and he finished 23rd. But that is the only time he's finished outside the top 15. So he can kind of take a little bit more of a conservative approach going into this weekend. And, you know, just look for a top 10, and regardless if Reddick leads the most laps and wins the race, Jones will be the champion.
Absolutely. And, you know, I and like you say, anything can happen, but everything looks really good right now for Erik Jones to get his first championship. And at the same time, he's going to be bringing a first championship to Kyle Busch Motorsports as well.
Yeah, that's right. And that's obviously a big deal for not just Jones, but for Kyle Busch himself. You know, if Jones does get it done, it'll be the fourth owner's championship for Kyle Busch Motorsports, but their first for drivers. And one thing I just want to point out, and what I've always kind of loved about what Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski have done in the truck series is build up their teams. And, you know, they've got two drivers now going for championships. You know, for several years there, people would kind of whine and complain when they see Kyle Busch or Brad Keselowski win a truck race. But bottom line is they were able to kind of build those teams and get those sponsorships and build up the program to what it is now and give these young drivers a chance. And you know, kind of speaking of young drivers as well, regardless of which one of them wins, they will become the youngest champion in NASCAR Camping World Truck Series history, breaking the record that was set by Austin Dillon back in 2011. Both guys are just 19 years of age and I think have bright futures ahead of them in the Camping World Truck Series as well as they move up the ladder.
Yes, I think you bring up an excellent point because, you know, we hear it from drivers, but I don't think a lot of fans always know that that's what's being said about the people like Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch. They take a lot of heat for a lot of things. But what they don't always get recognition and credit for is what they're doing to help build the future of this sport with young drivers like Erik Jones and Tyler Reddick. And the fact that both of these drivers are now contending for their first championships, I think it's an amazing thing that we see happening at both Kyle Busch Motorsports and Brad Keselowski Racing. And I want to give them as much kudos and credit as we possibly can for that because, like I say, I don't think that they always get credit for the wonderful things that they are doing with these new drivers coming into the sport. So thank you for bringing that up. I really do appreciate that. Now, I also want to mention here, too, you know, last year, Matt Crafton did make some history becoming the first driver to win back-to-back championships. And so he's already, making a name for himself within the Camping World Truck Series. And I know he wanted to make it back-to-back-to-back, but he is actually going to still make some history this weekend. He's raced 15 full-time seasons in the Camping World Truck Series, and he's tied now with Ron Hornaday for a total of 360 starts last week at Phoenix, where he, we know that he wrecked, and subsequently he ended up finishing 23rd and pretty much ending his hopes at going after that title. But this weekend, he has a chance to beat that record now with 361 starts. And Crafton has an amazing record in the Camping World Truck Series with 10 wins, 88 top fives, that's fifth all time, 209 top 10 finishes, second all time. And can you believe he's driven 65,743.3 miles? That's enough to travel across the continental United States more than 25 times. He has set He had the Thor Sport Racing driver has set career highs with 5 wins and 3 Keystone Light Pole Awards this season. And he's made his Camping World Truck Series start at Auto Club Speedway on October 28, 2000, when he finished 9th. So I think he has a very illustrious career. He has nothing to hold his head down about this weekend. He needs to hold his head high and be proud of what he's been able to accomplish in that 15 years period of time.
Yeah, Sharon, I would definitely agree. And I think what's impressive with Crafton as well is, you know, not only is this his 15th full-time season, but he's peaking at this point. He's not getting, you know, becoming better and better each season. And, you know, he'll definitely be a factor again next year for the championship for sure. He'd be one of my probably top 3 favorites for the championship going into the next season. So I think the fact that, you know, as you pointed out, he's got five wins this season. It's his career high. Doubling his total of the prior years up to 10. And I think that, you know, what he's done especially these past 3 seasons has been impressive. And kudos to him. And I think he'll be another factor for the championship next season.
I totally agree with you, and definitely something for fans to think about, you know, during this off season. And as we think about starting the 2016 season, it's really literally almost around the corner here. Now, we had some people making their debuts this weekend, too. Rico Abreu, we weren't sure if he was going to be able to race at Homestead. His debut actually was at Phoenix. And based on how he ran at Phoenix, they were going to decide if he can run at Homestead. And because he got into an accident, he was out of the race early and didn't really get a chance to run for evaluation for Homestead. But NASCAR said that they would take a look at what he does during practice sessions at Homestead Miami this weekend, and they gave him the approval to go ahead and race. So I think that's great news.
Yeah, that is great news. It was unfortunate to see his debut at Phoenix get cut short. You know, had several up-and-coming names, William Byron, Cole Custer, some other guys that got taken out and involved in accidents early in that race. I don't think got a chance to show what they can really do. So it's great to see Rico get another shot this weekend and see how he does for his first time on a mile and a half track.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm really hoping he gets a longer run this time around so that we can see what he does out there on the track. I know when we had him on the show a week or so ago, he was pretty much saying he just wants to be able to get all the laps in and finish the race and you know, keep his truck intact. And so I hope he gets that opportunity. This is all about seat time. And you know, getting the experience behind the wheel of a Camping World Truck Series vehicle. And he didn't seem to feel like it was going to be too much of a challenge for him making that transition from a Can-Am East car to the Camping World Truck Series. But I know those trucks are a lot more boxy and the aerodynamics are a lot different than what they experience in the Can-Am Series.
Yeah, definitely an adjustment for him coming over, but I think that, you know, we'll continue to see him improve, especially as we look to the off season and he kind of sets his plans in place for next year. You know, I think it's kind of still up in the air for him at this point. So hopefully another strong showing maybe will lead first to something on a full-time basis for him within the Truck Series.
Absolutely. Now, a couple other names that I'm seeing here, and maybe you've got some that you want to point out, too. Jesse Little's going to be in the truck this weekend, and he's going to be driving, it says here, the 207. I'm sorry, my glasses aren't that great here. I can't quite read it. I don't know if it's 297 or 207, but Jesse Little's going to be in the race, worthy of note. And I also saw Ross Kenseth is going to be racing this weekend in the trucks.
Yeah, Ross Kenseth is going to be in his second start of the year.
Yes, his second start of the year, yep.
And then, yeah, the two other big names for our guests on the show the other night, Lira Motorsports making their debut, I think is a big thing, to see a new team take a chance in the Truck Series, and then B, to get Kyle Weatherman and David Levine their first starts. If people didn't have a chance to listen to Monday Night Show, I encourage you to go back and take a listen to it, because Levine and Weatherman both were great guests and had some great things to say about their debuts coming up this weekend at Homestead Miami.
Yeah, they really did. And I think it is a very big deal for Lyra Motorsports, because this is actually the organization's debut in the Camping World Truck Series this weekend as well. So it was really great of them to allow us to talk to both of those drivers this weekend and on Monday Night Show. And we do still have the podcast available. If you go to fansracing.com, in the upper right corner, if you click on the radio podcast link, you'll see the latest episodes, and you can go right to that episode and listen to that podcast. So you definitely want to take a listen to that show. And Austin Theriault's name. Theriault is on the list here in the number 29 car. How about that?
Yeah, it's great to see him come back after that scary wreck earlier this season at Las Vegas. Seems like he's fully recovered and able to get back behind the wheel. So I think that's great to see him, and hopefully we won't see another scary wreck like that for him or anyone else in the series anytime soon, because that was a pretty brutal hit, and it's great to have him back in the track this weekend.
Yeah, that was a very scary hit, and I'm glad he took the time off to take care of himself and to make sure that he gave his body some time to heal from that hit. It was such a hard hit, and sometimes people are a little anxious. They want to get back behind the wheel as quickly as they possibly can, and I'm sure Austin's no exception to that, but I do feel like he took the time to really heal before getting back behind the wheel, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I would definitely agree there.
All right. Now then, what am I missing? What else do we need to talk about in the Camping World Truck Series here?
Well, I mean, I think it's great that the prelim entry list has 36 trucks, so it'll be probably have another highly competitive field. Unfortunately, four guys are not going to make the field and have to make the trip home. I mean, I think a couple other guys of note on the entry list that aren't running every week, Bobby Pierce will be back in the number 36 for MB Motorsports, and then Garrett Smithley will be in the other Mike Mittler MB Motorsports truck in the number 63. I believe it's just his fourth truck series start of the season, so a couple of young guys there for making starts for the oldest and longest running team in Camping World Truck Series history. I think that's something of note as well. Plus, we'll have your normal cast of characters within the Truck Series that I think will be factors. So, what do you think this weekend, Sharon? Who do you have a race winner going into this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what, Daniel Suarez is back behind the wheel too. And I keep pulling for him to come up with a win before the season ends. And we're kind of at the end of the season. So I would really love to see Daniel Suarez pull off a win this weekend. But at the same time, I know that we've got some drivers that are contending for that championship. And I think they're going to have to go. Anybody who wins is going to have to get through both of those drivers first. Who are your picks?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I expect Jones to be strong. Reddick finished sixth down there last year at Homestead Miami. He'll be strong. And I can't forget about Timothy Peters, who's been on an absolute tear in the Truck Series lately, seven consecutive top six finishes, and in that stretch has been his two victories on the season as well. So he's currently fifth in the standings, but I think he'll be a factor as well. You make a great point about Suarez having the opportunity to get his first victory. It seems like it's got to be coming almost any race now. and he'll break through. So I think there's pretty much anyone on the entry list is almost a possibility when you get into the Camping World Truck Series. I mean, heck, we saw John West Townley win a race this season. But, I actually think my pick for the race, I think Reddick is going to go out there and pick up the victory and race real hard, probably lead some laps and, put himself in the best position to win the title. I think based on the list I'm looking at here, he does have the best driver rating out of the guys actually in the race this weekend. So he's going to be my pick, and we'll see if he can go out there and get the win and maybe bring himself a championship, although I don't see Jones struggling and finishing outside the top 10. So Jones is still my pick for the champion.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more with everything that you've said. I think it's going to be a very tightly contested battle out there at Homestead Miami in this Champion World Truck Series race. I think it's a do-not-miss race if you are a fan of racing. You definitely want to tune in tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1 and listen in. And MRN, by the way, carries these races as well. So if you don't get Fox Sports 1, you can always listen on MRN or SiriusXM Radio if you have that. Check out what's happening with these races. It's pretty fantastic to come down to the wire the way they are to decide who this champion is going to be. So, I just think that since you're picking Tyler Reddick, I think I'll go ahead and go with Eric Jones on this. It's going to be pretty hot between those two. Eric Jones has won a lot of races that maybe he's never raced before, or a lot of tracks where he's not necessarily been the favorite to win, but we'll have to see what happens. He's had a real great record this season. I think Tyler Reddick is also a very good pick because of exactly what you said. He's got a good record. Not a very extensive record, but for the times that he has raced there, he has some good runs there, and I think it's going to be exciting no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. And Reddick will be back full-time in the Truck Series next year with Brad Keselowski Racing, so it'll be great to see him compete in the series yet again. And Eric Jones will be making the move up to the Xfinity Series next season, so it'll kind of be his chance to win the championship before he moves up. So I think regardless of who we get as a champion in the Truck Series, he'll be a fantastic, talented young driver and great for the series and great for either of those two guys, and especially for their team owners that are probably wanting that title just as bad as those two drivers.
Absolutely. Now, I want to get into the Xfinity Series because they're racing also this weekend on Saturday, and I'll give you the details there, but our guest is part of that Xfinity Series as well. The Xfinity Series is racing Saturday, November the 21st, and they're racing the Ford EcoBoost 300. They're racing 200 laps for 300 miles. The coverage will be on NBC starting at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, but the race is expected to take off at 2:45 p.m. So definitely fans will want to mark their calendars and be ready to tune in for that race as well. And I'm glad to see that it is on NBC. Now, I want to talk a little bit here about Johnny Davis. I put an article out about him on Fans for Racing today. Johnny Davis is the JD in JD Motorsports with Gary Keller. And I just think he has an interesting story to tell. He has over 27 years experience within the racing industry. And I think it just shows that he brings a real breadth of perspective to his role within that organization. He's been a crew member, a fabricator, he's been a crew chief, he's won championships in the Xfinity Series going back to 1987 with Larry Pearson. He built NASCAR show cars, and he also has built the largest stock car in the United States called Carzilla. And that's on display in the NASCAR Cafe in Las Vegas. And so if fans are ever out there, you want to stop by and see that. But some other interesting things that I thought about, that I read about J.D., Johnny Davis, is that organization in 2008 was the first team to have a female crew chief. Cindy Woolsey worked within the organization as a sheet metal fabricator And she also worked as a skilled home builder, but she actually became the very first female crew chief within any of NASCAR's top three series in the number 01 car that Landon Castle drives now. At that time, it was Curtis Davis, and it was at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So I thought that was pretty cool, too. And we all know how good JV Motorsports is on the restrictor plate tracks. First with Mike Wallace behind the wheel, and now Landon Castle in that number 01 car. They do really well. And there's some comments there, too, from each of the three drivers talking about what their thoughts are about the season that they had in 2015 and how they're looking forward to the 2016, or looking forward to the race at Homestead, Miami. They all want to have a good, strong run going into that race. So definitely check that out. But I think Johnny Davis is part of the fabric of NASCAR, and I wanted to make sure fans knew these little tidbits about him. So we're really looking forward to talking with Johnny Davis about the 2015 season with JD Motorsports with Gary Keller. And there's some interesting things going on specifically this weekend with Johnny Davis as well that I wanted to shine a light on. So with that, I want to welcome to the show our next guest, and that is none other than Johnny Davis. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
I'm glad to be here, Sharon. How are you today?
We're doing great. We're really happy that you were able to join us tonight and to chat with us a little bit about your 2015 season and maybe a little sneak peek into the 2016 season and some interesting things that are going on this weekend in Homestead, Miami. Let's go ahead and start, Johnny, with your thoughts about your 2015 season with JD Motorsports with Gary Keller.
Well, the 2015 season has been our best year since being in business. We continue to grow. We continue to bring new talent into the team, and the drivers we had in place also grew with us. We've had 7 top 10 finishes this year for the first year ever of having that many amongst our organization. We've had 2 cars at one time finish in the top 10 twice, that being Daytona July and Darlington in September. So with that being said, you know, it just continues to grow as an organization, making it better. And there's a lot of people within the NASCAR family that's helped this little team grow and the little engine that could, so to speak. The biggest thing I guess we could say is not only have we grown and had better finish, show better promise as a team, the value of our racing has been approximately $148,185 per race for our sponsors between our teams. And we this year signed up for Joyce Julius to prove what we were putting out there as a package to our sponsors, for our sponsors, and how we was getting them out there. And we have real numbers to back that up. So, you know, we got some good things going on here with our drivers for next year and this year. I know we got the last race. We're down here enjoying this Florida sunshine, and we're going to end it with a bang here, I promise you that. Get ready for next
well,
year.
Well, I truly believe that, Johnny, and you've got to feel good about what's happened in the 2015 season. We did see, you know, your drivers up there in the top 10, and I think that's pretty impressive for your organization. Now, you mentioned that a lot of this can't happen without some of your sponsors, and I happen to have somebody here on the line with me that wants to talk to you a little bit, too. This person is from the Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranch, and I'm going to hand the mic over to our guest right now, so you can go ahead and make your comments, okay?
Thank you, Sharon, and Mr. Johnny. We couldn't miss this opportunity to get on the radio with you, and thank you for what you've done for the children of Florida. You've helped us raise recognition of our brand, and you put our brand, our star, on your cars, your three cars, traveling coast to coast, border to border, and you've helped us really get our message out there of providing hope and help to abused, neglected, at-risk children. And I know we're going to be down there with you in Homestead on Saturday. We're going to present you with a recognition from the 67 sheriffs from the 67 counties of the state of Florida. They're honoring you with a lifetime honorary membership in the Florida Sheriffs Association in recognition for all that you've done for us.
Well, that's amazing, Wayne. I certainly didn't expect this, but it has been a thrill to help the Florida Youth Grants get the recognition it has so long deserved amongst the country as we travel abroad representing you with the star on our cars. Children have always been a soft spot in my heart. You just can't do enough to get these kids back on the right track and continue to grow them and mature them into big, nice adults that are very capable of running our country and help get our country back on track. And the Florida Youth Grants mission is I just got a weak spot for that. I just want to see that organization continue to grow and get people to help support it so that they can continue to carry out the mission for the children that need the assistance that just got off track a little bit and bring them back into to the good, enjoyable life of living right instead of doing wrong. It's so much better, and we're just glad to be a part of that for the youth ranch, helping distribute the mission and the calls out there to all the people in the racing community.
Well, you said it's a year of growing and making it better, and we certainly echo those regards, and we're looking forward to a long-term relationship with you. And I can't think of a better way of closing out, you know, this year's series with, you know, a first, second, third place finish with the, I'm not going to put numbers, but in numeric order, the 0 car, the 0-1 car, and the 4 car. So we're going to be cheering you on to a checker flag on Saturday.
We certainly are going to try. We put a good effort into it to try and help our program get stronger each and every week. The whole team, I can't thank the whole team enough at JD Motorsports from all three cars, the 0-1, the 4, and the 0. They've all worked hard helping each other this week. I've seen more communication between the three teams this week trying to help the 4 car maybe finish in the top 20 in points. You know, we're only, I think, 5 points out on that. Everybody has just pulled hard together to try and help that. As we all know, a little team like us depends on the racing purse and the points money at the end of the year to get through the winter. And 21st pays 0, I think 20th pays about $68,000-$70,000. So we're working hard trying to do that. My whole team pulled together hard this week, and I ain't never seen them work any harder. I have to thank them for being behind us, you know, and Gary Keller, he's pitched in, done a few extra things this race here to help us with some engine things from RCR, ECR engine program, and we're looking to maybe just do a lot more of that next year. The ECR guys do a wonderful job, and we're just lucky to be able to connect the dots to be able to do some business with them next year also.
Now, Johnny, your each of your three cars have a star that's going to be displayed on the car. Where can fans see that star if they're at the racetrack or watching on TV?
That star on two of the cars is lower quarter panel behind the tire, and on one of them it's lower quarter panel in front of the tire. That's where we place the star all year long for the Florida Sheriff Youth Branch to help them get their mission and goals out there.
Sharon, I want to thank you for the opportunity, and Johnny, we'll see you Saturday, okay?
All right, Wayne. Certainly a surprise for what all you had to say there, and I certainly look forward to seeing you and back on track.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, Wayne.
Okay,
you
now, before you go,
there.
Wayne.
Sure.
Wayne, before you go, can you make sure you give your social media handle so fans can follow your organization?
Yeah, you can find us on our website at youthranches.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at the same. And our Twitter handle is FLYRSheriff. So anybody that wants to, you know, connect with us, we'd appreciate that. Thank you, Sharon.
Okay, thank you, Wayne. Take care, and we'll look for those good finishes this weekend with JD Motorsports.
Awesome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. I think that's quite an honor, Johnny Davis, and I'm real happy that Wayne was able to call in and kind of give a little bit more behind the significance of that recognition this weekend.
Yeah, it was greatly a surprise for sure, and Wayne is a wonderful person. You won't meet a better man in the whole United States as we travel abroad, and we've met a lot of people, and the cause of what they're doing there. I went personally to those ranches and went out there and talked to the kids and interviewed some of the kids, and just to see where they were and hear them say where they were in life and what the Florida Sheriff Youth Branch has done for them and turning their lives around and made them into just model children to continue to grow. And I know there's been football stars that went through there, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me with the way their faith is and their belief in God there and the things they teach, and get these kids back focused mentally in a good direction, that one of the days that you might have a president or something that leads this this country that went through the Florida Sheriff Youth Branch, they are that good of an organization, and I'm very proud and honored to be a part of that.
Well, that is fantastic, and I'm really happy that we were able to kind of spotlight that here tonight. Now, we do have a member of our Fans for Racing panel with us tonight as well, Brian Eberle, and I know he has a couple questions he'd like to ask you, Johnny, so I'm going to kind of hand the mic over to him at this point.
Thank you. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Johnny. How you doing? First of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking the time to come on. Just wanted to say, I think it's fantastic that you've got, you know, Florida Youth Ranches, one of your sponsors, calling into the show, and really kind of speaks volumes to what you said earlier on the show tonight regarding the value that the JD Motorsports organization is able to provide as sponsors. So, I mean, I think that's fantastic, and it's also a great program, and I appreciate you talking about that on the show tonight. So, first off, thank you for that. It's been announced that Ross Chastain is going to return to your number four car next year. Is your plan to kind of field three full-time cars again? And if so, do you have any plans in place that you're able to talk about yet for those drivers?
Well, yeah, we're going to field three cars again. For sure, Ross, we've signed up together and agreed to run in the four car. I look for a lot of stronger things from that organization next year. Ross is promising us. We've seen a lot of promise in Ross and his talents. Landon, you know, he's a Cup driver, and that's his priority over there. And until he gets all his things in order on the Cup side, we can't commit to each other for that. Certainly would like to have Landon back. He has a lot of talent. He's a good talent. He's an asset to the team. Harrison, we're working with some sponsors right now trying to secure for him. He's done us a tremendous job also. We want him back. He wants to be back, but obviously we have to not fill that seat with his name until we get money to do it better. We're not about trying to be idle and continue to do what we've done. We are looking at options that would help our team grow. And Harrison certainly has done that and can do that even further than where we're at, but we got to have marketing partners with it to make it grow. And we're looking at all our options, but right now we're all planning on Ross and Harrison next year for sure. But, you know, it's probably 80% done with Harrison, but Landon, we got to let him get his cup stuff worked out before we can talk much about what's going on there with him next year, but we'd certainly like to have him back.
Yeah, exactly. You've got three pretty good drivers there. Unfortunately, it always comes down to that money. Sharon?
Unfortunately, that's a bittersweet evil of this organization's business and the role model it is. It just takes large marketing dollars, and, you know, we've left a couple of the options out there just in case somebody last minute came up with something and wanted to come our way, because we feel we're a very big, strong value to someone's marketing money and driver if there's one out there with that to help us grow and help them grow in the sport as well.
Now, just before the show, Johnny, there was another announcement that came out from JD Motorsports concerning the Florida Lottery. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, this weekend in Florida, we got the Florida Lottery on the 01 car with Landon. We're expecting big things out of that. We have the Watermelon Association as well as Corporate Caters, which is a big corporation in Florida and scattered abroad, Texas and places, catering for corporate affairs and events. We've got them also on the 0 car this weekend. So we got something on all three cars this weekend, with it being Corporate Caters on the 0 and 4, as well as the watermelon.org on the 4, which has been an all-year supporter and are agreed to come back next year with us with the 4 car. We're excited about that. And then we got the Florida Sheriff Trench on all 3 and the Florida Lottery on the 01 car. And we're expecting big things for everybody in this this community and the race Saturday.
Okay, I think that's fantastic, and definitely looking forward to seeing that on the cars this week. And I know I was particularly happy to see the Blackhawks, and I think Brian was too, on Harrison Rhodes cars when you guys came to Chicagoland Speedway.
Yeah.
So those things really mean a lot to the fans as well. So let me just also, I wanted to ask you, Johnny, because you've been in this business for over 27 years and a lot of different roles that you've had within the racing industry. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen transpire?
You know, there's been changes I agreed with and changes I didn't agree with. But overall, the camaraderie of the people within the sport has grew and changed to where we're one big family that all has the same common goal to take care of our marketing partners moving forward and help each other. So it's all been positive. There's been things that I didn't think would be positive. NASCAR has done a tremendous job at keeping the sport under the people's eyes, whether it be on TV or at the track. And it just continues to get better, and I'm just glad to be a part of something as big as the family of NASCAR is. Mr. France back in the beginning had a good vision, and his children and grandchildren have took this thing and just kept going with it. And I think it's really healthy today, as healthy as it's ever been, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, it is pretty exciting. I know a lot of people wonder sometimes about what's going on in NASCAR, but they don't have an easy job, and I think they do a tremendous job with what they have to deal with, and it's not easy.
They got some wonderful people at NASCAR. Mike Helton has been a big help to all three of the major series and helping them grow, all the people under him. It's just one of the biggest things. You know, we're considered a middle of the road team, I guess, that has had some top tens and are making some promise. And NASCAR's been real good to make the rules to where the lesser teams could compete and bring the sport of racing closer together, make it be more competitive and make it be more equal and fair. And I have to say, you know, I've been here since 1981 as a team owner in various aspects. And right now, today, NASCAR as a family and a community listens to everyone in that garage from first to 43rd, whether it be on the Cup side, first to 40th on our side, and I think the truck fills around 36. They listen to the person at the end of the field as hard as they do at the front of the field, trying to equal it out and help everybody be good in the business and what they love. So, you know, NASCAR, the family itself, I guess, has done the most for us. That's been a big change. You know, in the beginning, they were all just trying to make the thing go. And I've been a part of the NASCAR family since 1981, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Well, I think that's a huge testimony coming from you, Johnny Davis. You know, a lot of times we hear that's exactly what NASCAR is trying to do with some of the changes that they've made in the packages and the different things that they're doing within this sport. And to hear from a team owner to say that you can feel that is happening for your team and helping your team make the progress that they're making, I think is a huge testimony. So thank you for sharing that with us. Brian, I want to give you a final chance to ask any additional questions that you might have, and then we'll kind of let Johnny go here.
Oh, yeah. First of all, Johnny, I echo Sherman's sentiments about the Blackhawks paint scheme. That definitely was one of my favorite ones of the season. As a Chicago native and someone that's grown up in the Chicagoland area my entire life, and someone that got to cover the race weekend at Chicagoland, it was great seeing that car around.
Well, we've been lucky to have the body shop there in Chicago, and they're big all abroad, and they got body shops in Arizona, Chicago, and all, and they're big Blackhawk fans, and Gerber Collision Centers, and they put that on the car as a customary for the year that the Blackhawks had, and we were just so welcome to be able to represent such a great company as the Blackhawks and what they had done this year with having them on the hood of our race car, and it was a thrill. But I have to thank Gerber Collision for doing that, and they've been great sponsors in the past, I think, 5-6 years now at the Chicago races for us, and they've continued to help us grow, and they just paid a good tribute to that, and I have to thank them for doing that.
Yeah, that's great. Hopefully we see another Hawks head on there in 2016 celebrating another cup. I guess my last question for you, maybe one of the biggest outcries we've seen, so to speak, amongst fans regarding the Xfinity Series has been some of the domination by the Cup Series regulars. Do you have any thoughts on that? And would you ever like to see NASCAR maybe look at trying to limit how many races they run in the future at any point?
Well, you know, as more independent and probably one of the strongest independent teams in the business that don't have a big Cup affiliation, I don't mind racing Cup drivers. Our drivers are every bit as good as any Cup driver out there today. But the technology we have amongst our teams and the engineering staff is where we hurt. As a small team, I'd like to see NASCAR figure out how to keep Cup ingenuity out of our series and maybe help our series stand more on its own. And I've had talks with them, and they understand that issue. But we also know as a little bit lesser team that is continuing to grow, we want to be like them one day. So we understand where they're at. We don't mind racing against them. I think NASCAR has done a good job at looking at taking the Cup drivers out of the drivers' championship, and there's talks out there of possibly taking them out of the car owner championship points things. You know, there's been rumored about some things of having a playoff kind of like they do in Cup in our series. I think that's new and exciting. It's awful exciting to sit down with NASCAR and talk and see the interest they have in helping the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series continue to grow, although we're the second and third top tier series in the thing, and Cup being the most important. You know, they're working just as equal hard to make ours want to make you turn the dial to our races and not watch something else on TV, and want you to be a big fan and come to the races and support the tracks and support your team. And NASCAR is doing a good job with that.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear that they're listening to everyone throughout the field. So great to get your perspective tonight, John, and really appreciate you coming on the show. So I want to thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much, Brian, for having me, you and Sharon, and I'll be glad to do it any time. I'm honored just to be a part of y'all's radio show there in any way we can.
Well, we appreciate what you do out there on the track, too, Johnny, and with your drivers and all of that. So thank you for everything that you do and for taking the time out of your schedule to be on our show tonight. It is very much appreciated. We wish you the best out there at Homestead Miami this weekend. And before you go, I want to make sure fans know how they can follow on social media what's going on at JD Motorsports.
Well, we got a good group of social media people there that are working hard to get our message out. You can go to our website, which is teamjdmotorsports.com. We got T-shirts on there for sale. We got Race Girl, who's a longtime sponsor of mine and my son's over the years, come back on board on all three cars. We're trying to help sell their merchandise. On Facebook, you can search JD Space Motorsports and find us. Twitter, you can find us at JDMotorsports01. Instagram at JDMotorsports01 also. Just tune in to us anywhere you can there. Help support us. We certainly appreciate it. And we're glad to do what we love, and we couldn't do it without the wonderful fans out there and the marketing partners that's able to come on board with us. And we certainly appreciate people like you, Sharon, and Brian having us on these shows to help get our sponsors out there and get mentions to them and help find us new fans, man. We appreciate everything y'all are doing here for us.
Well, thank you. And again, we wish all of your drivers the very best this weekend. And it would be kind of cool to see them come in 1, 2, 3, huh?
That would be great. It would be great, man. We're excited and trying to do it. I promise you on our end. We're praying daily that that God will give us the strength and ability to guide our teams to continue to make us stronger and help our crews to all, each one of the teams, be better. And we're just looking forward to it.
Absolutely. You take care and enjoy the weekend, okay?
I'm going to do it, and y'all enjoy it pretty. Also this weekend, but the weather is really nice in Florida. If you ain't got nothing to do, buy your airplane ticket or get in your car and drive on down here to Homestead, and let's have a big weekend. Go out with a bang here at the end of the year.
There you go. That sounds like fun.
All right, Sharon. Thank y'all.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night.
Good night. All right. That was a lot of fun, Brian, talking with Johnny Davis at JD Motorsports. He's a really great guy, and I always have fun chatting with him. And the thing with the Florida Sheriff's group there was something that kind of came up at the last minute, but I'm glad that it did. The Florida Sheriff's used that.
Yeah, that whole interview was fantastic. It was great to hear from a guy that's been around the sport for so long, someone from the ownership side of things as well. We have a chance to talk to a lot of drivers. It's great to get an owner's perspective. And, yeah, awesome that one of his sponsors wanted to take the time out and kind of call in and talk about what they're doing and why they want to partner with JD Motorsports. So I think it's great when, a full-time Xfinity Series team can add value to and show value to their sponsors and, continue to build that organization as a full-time Xfinity Series team. And I think he made some, great points about some of the struggles they face, but also at the same time how talented their drivers are and being able to race against, some cup competition week in and week out will continue to make them stronger as well. So great to have Johnny on, and hopefully we'll be talking to him again at some point during the off season or heading into next season as their plans get finalized to hopefully bring all three of those guys back into their stable next year.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, they have a huge following of fans. I see it on Twitter when those guys, Ross Chastain or Landon Castle or Harrison Rhodes, anytime those guys are up there in the top 10 or the top 5, fans are making note of it on Twitter. all the time. So I know there's a huge following for that organization. And I just, you know, and you and I think are two of those fans. So I think they're a great organization, and I really love to see them making the progress that they are. And I thought it was great for Johnny to acknowledge NASCAR's part in kind of helping make it a little bit easier for teams like his as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we see, especially from the social media side, people kind of light up NASCAR for some of their decisions sometimes. And, you know, he seemed very open and honest about how often he kind of does have conversations with them and talks to try to build the series up for, you know, those teams that don't have their relationships with full-time cup operations. So I think that's great to hear, and hopefully continues to happen as they continue to bring in some sponsorship to the Xfinity Series drivers and full-time teams.
Absolutely. So definitely one of the guys I look forward to talking to all year long. So I want to make sure we leave time to talk about the Sprint Cup Series because, you know, that is really going to be really big news this weekend too. Along with the recognition that Johnny Davis is getting, fans are going to want to be on the lookout for that from the Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranch. And I think that's a huge honor for Johnny Davis. I think it's just about as huge as the Sprint Cup Series race that's going to be taking place on Sunday afternoon.
Yep, definitely. Got to look forward to this weekend at Homestead, Miami.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the Xfinity Series, because Chris Buescher, we've been saying for a while now that we think this is kind of his race, his championship to lose, and this is the weekend that he could walk away with that crown.
Yeah, he's definitely still my favorite headed into it. I've been surprised. I really thought that Chase Elliott or Ty Dillon would have maybe taken the lead or given more of a challenge to him. But his consistency has been, you know, befitting of a guy that should be crowned a champion. Just got to go out there and finish 13th or better on Saturday afternoon. It doesn't matter what any of those other guys do. And given that he's got an average finish of 8.4 on the mile and a half this season, he's definitely shown that he's strong enough to do that. So what are your thoughts heading into this weekend regarding the championship, Sharon?
Okay, I am back, Brian. I apologize.
Okay. I think we lost you there for a minute. So.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I accidentally hung up the phone and did not mean to do that, so I had to call back in. I did want to get into the Xfinity Series and then, of course, the Sprint Cup Series for this weekend. And if you could just briefly go over your comments about Chris Buescher, I'd appreciate it.
I was just saying that I think he's still, you know, my favorite for the championship to get it done this weekend. He's got an 8.4 finish on mile and a half tracks this season, second best among the championship contenders, only behind Ty Dillon. All he's got to do is finish 13th or better, and he'll take home the title, which I think will be great not only for him, but the Roush Honolulu organization, which, as we all know, has struggled kind of mightily at the Cup Series level. So it'll be a bright spot for Roush Fenway as well as for Chris himself.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, too. I think, you know, it's been kind of a bright spot, I think, for Roush Fenway Racing, what they've been able to accomplish in the Xfinity Series. And to see them go home with the championship, I think would be a very positive thing for that organization. There are some drivers, though, some winless drivers that are hoping that they can, you know, take advantage of this last race of the season to bring home a win. Some of those drivers include from Richard Childress Racing. Dylan is actually looking to see if he can come up with a win. Elliot Sadler, Kyle Larson is the only Sprint Cup driver that's going to be racing this weekend, but he'd like to come in with a win too and maybe shake things up a little bit.
Yeah, well, to your point, I don't think Larson's the only Sprint Cup driver. I think there's a few more on the entry list, but Larson is the only Sprint Cup guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Larson's the only Sprint Cup guy that hasn't won an Xfinity Series race this season that's in the field.
That's it. That's it.
So, yeah, he definitely would probably like to get a win at that level. I think, again, it's going to be a race where we see a lot of the Cup guys up front. I don't think anyone's been able to beat Kyle Busch lately. I would kind of expect to see him put on another potentially dominating performance, but you've got a lot of other Xfinity Series guys that haven't announced plans yet for next year. Kind of the big one I'm thinking that would love a win and a great performance is Regan Smith. He has not announced what he's doing next year. I did see Chris Knight tweet earlier today that he's been hearing a potential Truck Series ride for Regan Smith. So I guess we'll hear more on that coming up in the future, but we've got a lot of guys kind of looking to make a name for themselves in the last race of the season at the Xfinity Series level.
Yes, and so, you know, what these drivers do at this race, everybody, even if they're not contending for the championship, that they want to get their name out there and they want to get the best finish they possibly can. So I think that's going to make it very exciting. One of those drivers is the Rookie of the Year candidate who's leading that those standings. Daniel Suarez, we talked about a little bit about him in the Camping World Truck Series. He has a chance of becoming the first Hispanic Xfinity Series Rookie of the Year, and I can't think of a better place for him to make that happen than at Homestead Miami this weekend. And to be able to celebrate that there, I think is fantastic.
I think he's pretty much going to take the Rookie of the Year battle ahead of Darrell Wallace Jr. On the strength of 8 top 5 finishes this season. We've seen Suarez at the front of the field. Even in some of these fields that have been filled with Cup drivers, Suarez has ran really well. And I think I've said this before on the show that he's kind of been my most impressive or surprising Xfinity Series regular this season. I wasn't expecting him to be quite this good and quite this strong in his rookie year.
Absolutely, and he could do some great things this weekend in this race as well. We also know that there's been Roger Penske in the number 22 car. They were strong last season. They were equally strong this season, and they were strong the season, before last season. So they've had 3 straight seasons where that 22 car has been a contender week in and week out. And there's a pretty good chance that they'll be taking home that owner's championship as well.
Yep.
Okay. Roger Penske has just built a really strong organization with that number 22 car. And the thing that's surprising about it is that, there's so many different drivers that are racing that car. It's not just one driver that's racing that car in the Xfinity Series. He's had, a lot of different drivers racing that car and still be able to bring home that championship. So that's pretty impressive of itself.
Right, and as fans might not put much value in the owner's championship, it does make a huge difference to these teams and those guys and girls that are working on the team's full-time basis, regardless of who they have behind the wheel and not being able to compete for the driver's championship. The owner's championship does mean something to these teams, and I think it's, a testament to what Team Penske's been able to do with that number 22 car with, not only Keselowski and Logano behind the wheel, but Ryan Blaney and Alex Taglioni in a couple starts as well. So a great season for them and deserving of taking home the owner's title.
Yeah, and one thing to remember, too, the final four drivers have had a really strong presence in the Xfinity Series with some of their accomplishments before they became Sprint Cup Series drivers. Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick have all had great success in the Xfinity series before moving into, you know, their success in the Sprint Cup series. So I thought that's definitely worthy of note as well.
Yeah, but yeah, I definitely agree.
All right. Let's, unless you know of something else that we need to make sure we mention, are you ready to move on to the Sprint Cup series, or do we have more on the Xfinity?
No, I think that pretty well covers it for me. I'm just another guy to note in the field this weekend, Ben Rhodes in the number 88 for Junior Motorsports. He's run, you know, last year's K&M E-Series champions, run 10 races for Junior Motorsports this year. He will not be back with them next year and has not announced his plans. So it'll be interesting to see how he does at Homestead Miami this weekend as well.
Yeah, I really hope and pray that something good happens for Ben Rhodes. He's such a great driver. He won the Can-Am Pro Series East Championship before taking that tin ride deal with JR Motorsports. And I want to see him within NASCAR's top three. So I hope there's some kind of news just around the corner for him. I know we haven't heard anything yet. But I do think he's a great driver that we need to see in this sport, and I do hope that good things happen for him. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yep, I agree.
All right, let's go ahead and move into the Sprint Cup Series, because this is going to be a really big deal this weekend. Any one of these four drivers can go home with the championship. And I know there's so many great stories here. And you mentioned it earlier. If any one of these drivers were to win the championship, I think the other three drivers would be happy for them.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it was Harvick at the media day earlier today that kind of echoed that, like, you know, talking to the media and saying, if you guys can't find a story to write about this weekend, then you should find another job to go work at. Because I think that, you know, regardless of which one of them takes the title, it's going to be a great story. And, you know, a lot of excitement around it. As controversial as parts of this chase have been, I hope that we see a great race, and hopefully it's a side-by-side battle, or, you know, at least we've got some of these guys up in the top five. It was great to see Harvick be able to get the win and the championship last year. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I'm not so sure we'll see that again this year. There's a lot of strong drivers that aren't eligible for the championship that I think have a shot to take the win this weekend.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly where I was going to go with next, is because, you know, we'd like to see maybe one of these championship contenders come home with the win, but there's a good chance there could be some spoilers, and it might not be the champion that actually wins the race. Who do you think are your spoilers?
You know, I always, as a numbers guy and an accountant, as my full-time job, I always like looking at the driver ratings and rankings, and you've got Carl Edwards is the best in driver rating at Homestead Miami in Sprint Cup competition at 110.2, and then second is Matt Kenseth. So I think either of those two guys could have a good shot. Denny Hamlin also has two wins at Homestead Miami. Kurt Busch has a win at Homestead Miami. A couple guys that have actually won three times at Homestead that I don't think have a shot at the win necessarily this weekend, because they've been having less than stellar seasons, are Greg Biffle and Tony Stewart. But I think that, you know, I also can't count out Jimmy Johnson as an opportunity. He hasn't – sorry, I'm losing my train of thought there for a second. But Jimmy Johnson has not won yet at Homestead Miami, but he's somebody that I think could get in there and steal a win away from one of these four guys for competing for the championship.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that – and what a story would that make if Matt Kenseth would come back after a suspension and actually win the race at Homestead Miami. I think that would be a big story. And even Joey Logano, you know, with everything that he's been through this season, who's to say – and Joey Logano has done well at tracks that he has not necessarily done well at in previous years, and now that he's not in that Final Four, some of that pressure's off of him. It would not surprise me if he doesn't end up in victory lane this weekend as well. But I really like your picks of Edwards and Kenseth as well. I look at those driver ratings too. It would be a check in the box for Jimmy Johnson if he were finally able to pull off a win at Homestead Miami, a track where he has not had a win yet. So, and Kurt Busch, you know, another driver that maybe, you know, has something to prove with coming up with a win at Homestead Miami, too.
Can't argue with any of those guys having a shot to go to victory and win, and I think that's one of the things that makes NASCAR and racing so exciting. You know, you're down in the final four for the championship, but you've still got 39 other drivers out there that are, you know, maybe not only competing for a win, but trying to get one of their best finishes of the season. And, you know, there's still a lot of moving around that can happen in the rest of the point standings. Obviously, everyone wants to finish as high as possible in the championship standings to end their season on a solid note. So it'll be a great race. Hopefully it gets in on Sunday. I'm not liking what the forecast looks like, but I'm hoping that we get to see a great race run the full distance for the championship.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. I think that's one of the things that makes Homestead Miami, I think, an exciting race. Nobody wants to interfere with the championship title, but they all want to get as good a finish as they possibly can. There's really a lot to be said for carrying the momentum of a win at Homestead Miami and to, you know, to close out their season and to have that win under their belt going into the next season is something that everybody wants to do. So, and I think, you know, it doesn't matter whose team it is, they all want to do that this weekend at Homestead Miami. Now, of the final four, do you have a favorite?
that's a great question. I honestly think I've argued my way into picking either of these four drivers as my favorite throughout the week since they've been set last weekend. What I was a bit surprised at when I took a look at the driver ratings is, you know, we talked about Edwards and Kenseth as 1 and 2. Truex actually has the third best driver rating of the guys in the field this weekend.
Isn't that something?
Which came as a little bit of a surprise to me because obviously everyone kind of considers him to be the underdog, so to speak, headed into this weekend. But I'm still going back and forth on who I think is going to take the championship. If I had to make a pick right now, I think Harvick's just been so strong throughout the year. And, you know, he did it last year. He's, you know, knows how this format works, is able to handle the pressure of the week. I would say he's probably the guy that's my favorite to get it done. What about you, Sharon?
Boy, I tell you, it's really tough to pick a favorite out of these four. I've been pulling for Martin Truex Jr. throughout this chase, hoping that he would be one of the final four, and I'm just tickled to death that he made it to be one of the final four. I think it's well-deserved. He has been a strong contender all season long, and he's done exactly what he's needed to do to be exactly where he is. And I think he's well-deserving. It's well-deserved. Kyle Busch, I just don't think you can understate what Kyle Busch has been able to accomplish, having missed it the first 11 races of the season, to come back and get the wins that he did and to be able to put himself in the top 30 in points to be eligible to even be in the chase, let alone one of the final four, I think is just a huge, huge testament to what his ability is. I think it would be fantastic. If he were to win, it would be the first championship Toyota as well. So I think that would be a huge, huge thing for Kyle Busch. Kevin Harvick is the defending champion. I think it would be really great to see him get a back-to-back championship at Homestead Miami this weekend. He's been very, very strong at a lot of tracks. I know he ran into some problems early in the chase that kind of put him behind the eight ball, but that happened last year when he won the championship as well, and he was able to pull it out and get that championship when all was said and done. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him do that again this season. But I think the biggest sentimental contender here is, of course, Jeff Gordon, who is retiring as a driver at the end of this race. And we've been saying at the end of the season, and it's here. It ends with the end of this race. And if Jeff Gordon were to walk away with that championship, I think a lot of people would be very, very happy to see that happen. He's been talking about the drive for five, it seems like, for a long time. And for him to make that happen in his final season and go out on top, I think would just be an amazing accomplishment for Gordon, on top of the many, many accomplishments that he has in this sport. It is really, really hard. I think my favorite would be to see Martin Truex Jr. pull it off. But I honestly, I would be so happy for any one of these four drivers to do it.
Yeah, you make a great point about Gordon. He's definitely my sentimental favorite. He's the driver that got me into watching NASCAR in the late 90s when he was, you know, winning a ton of races and winning those first championships. And honestly, I still can't believe that he is retiring. I mean, I know we've been able to talk about it all season, but, you know, as it's drawn closer and now we're down to the last race, I'm still kind of maybe a little bit in shock, so to speak, that we won't see him race next season. So him going off, and especially the level of excitement he showed when he got that win at Martinsville, I mean, we haven't seen emotion out of a driver like that winning a race here at the Cup level, I don't think, for quite some time. And just the amount of fans that stuck around to enjoy that race. I think I saw somebody tweeted earlier this week that if Gordon were to win the race and win the championship this weekend, that post-race traffic may not clear out until sometime Monday afternoon, because people would want to stick around and bask in that victory. And, I mean, no better way for a guy that hasn't won a championship since 2001 to win, and winning in the Chase era I think would be fantastic. And I know just not only myself, there's a ton of people that kind of grew up and got into NASCAR watching Jeff Gordon. So I think the fact that he won't be there next year in a car anyway, he will be in the Fox booth, I think, which will be fantastic as well. I think he's going to have a lot of great insight. And when they announced that, I was extremely happy, because I think, you know, what NBC's done this year with their coverage, I think, has kind of upped the game, and that's led Fox to kind of look at the way they do things, and now they've got Gordon that'll be up there in the booth next year. Kind of a little off topic there from talking about the champions, but I think that's great as well, that he will be around the sport and providing his insight and analysis.
I couldn't agree with you more. And one thing that I did forgot to mention when we were talking about Martin Truex Jr., is that if he were to win this championship, he would be the first driver from a one-car operation to win the Sprint Cup Championship since Dale Earnhardt did it with Richard Childress Racing in 1994. That's how long it's been since a one-car team operation, you know, accomplished that feat with a great driver like Dale Earnhardt. So that would really mean a lot, I know, to a driver like Martin Truex Jr., who has seen his share of challenges getting to where he is today as one of the final four drivers competing for this championship at Homestead Miami this weekend. There's just so many great storylines around all of these drivers. And I think every one of them deserve to be where they are this weekend competing for this championship.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I can't say it enough that these four are fantastic final four to have with great storylines from all aspects, both in the car and, you know, what they've dealt with outside of the car this season and in the seasons past. And another point on Truex would be he could become just the fourth driver to win both a Cup and Xfinity Series championship, joining Bobby Labonte, Brad and Kevin Harvick. And same thing for Kyle Busch as well. If he were to get the victory this weekend, he would join Labonte, Keselowski, and Harvick as the fourth driver to win titles in both. So kind of another cool stat to look at and something that would be great for either of those guys.
Absolutely. Now, I just want to remind fans that the Ford EcoBoost 400 at Homestead Miami will be this Sunday, November the 22nd. There's a lot of great coverage of this race, NBC, so that's on your local NBC affiliate. 1:30 p.m. will start the coverage. The race should start around 3 p.m., but something that NBCSN is doing this weekend, which I think is fantastic, is the hot pass coverage, where they're going to be covering the four championship contenders. That's going to be hosted by race announcer Lee Diffie NASCAR Hall of Famer Dale Jarrett. They're going to be able to provide the coverage for the championship four drivers. That all starts at 3 p.m. on NBCSN. So if you have that available, you definitely want to check that out as well. I think it's great that NBC is doing that. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed their coverage during the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think they've done a fantastic job and definitely kind of upped the game, so to speak, on how races can be broadcast and things can be shown. I've really liked their booth with Rick Allen, Jeff Burton, and Steve Letarte. And, you know, this, what they're doing for the championship that you just talked about, I think is really cool. And, you know, something that we haven't seen before. And I think, you know, what they've done, I guarantee you that the Fox guys have been looking at and trying to improve their coverage as well. So I think it's great all around for what we'll see leading into 2016 from both Fox and NBC.
Yeah, I think that's all good news for the fans, definitely. Now, I forgot to mention they are running 267 laps for a total of 400.5 miles this weekend. So, again, all three of these races are do-not-miss events. So set those DVRs if you can't be there to watch it. And check out these races because it's going to be a lot of fun for race fans this weekend. And like Johnny Davis was saying, if you haven't done it already, you know, book yourself a flight on that airplane and get down and see these races. I really wish I could because it would be so much fun to do that. And that's definitely on my bucket list to do that somewhere down the road here. Brian, it's been a pleasure having you on the show with us tonight and all of our Thursday night show. I know that wasn't part of the deal when we kind of talked about this originally, but tonight is actually our last Thursday night show because after tonight we won't have any races to preview on Thursday nights. we'll have to talk about whether we'll be back in the 2016 season. I hope we can work that out. I just want to thank you for being there and help to support us to finish out this season by being here as my partner on our Thursday night show.
Yeah, definitely. And I thank you for the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun. Always something that I look forward to no matter how busy the week may be with other obligations. It's always something that I've looked forward to. And thanks to you for setting up such a fantastic lineup of guests. I mean, we've had the opportunity to talk to several great people from throughout the NASCAR industry and just the few months I've been part of the show. So I do look forward to hopefully continuing in some aspect next year and continuing the coverage in these shows. It has been a lot of fun. So thank you for that.
Okay. And I do want to remind folks that we still will have our Monday night show continuing for the next few weeks through the 14th. But we, too, on the Monday night show, will be taking a little bit of a break for Christmas and New Year's. So we will not have a show on the 21st of December or the 28th of December. But we will indeed return back to the airwaves on January the 4th. To begin our preseason coverage, because as we all know, there's a lot that goes on during the off season in regards to silly season, and we'll be covering that on our Monday night show. So right now, we do have a couple of great guests lined up for this coming Monday with Bill McAnally from Bill McAnally Racing. He's going to be on at 9 o'clock. He has teams in both the K&N East as well as the K&N West Series. And, in fact, he just won the championship with Chris Eggleston out there in the K&N West. And then winning the race out in the K&N West at Phoenix last weekend was Todd Gilliland. He'll be our guest at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday the 23rd. So fans will definitely want to tune in for that. Now, before you go, we start at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday night, just so fans know, and we'll put out all of the promos. Brian, I want to make sure we talk about what you're working on and how fans can follow you.
Yeah, the best way is on Twitter, B Eberly, E-B-E-R-L-Y 18, B Eberly 18. And I also write some stuff over at MotorRacingDigest.com. So that's another great way to check out articles and stories. And I'll be involved again on Monday Night Show. And for any of our listeners in the Chicagoland area, Chicagoland Speedway is holding a watch party at the Hollywood Casino on Sunday for the race. So I will be there. So if anyone's there, come hunt me down and we can talk racing and analyze who we think is going to be the champion when the checkered flag falls on Sunday.
Oh, thank you so much for bringing that up. I hope some of our Chicagoland fans for racing are out there to watch that race as a group, because we used to do that as part of that group, and it's a lot of fun when you're watching the race with a bunch of passionate fans, especially those fans that are as passionate as you are about the sport. So definitely check that out. Brian, once again, I cannot thank you enough. I'm sorry that we didn't hear from Chris tonight. I was hoping he'd be able to call in so that we could thank him for all of his contributions to our Thursday night show as well. But I know he's probably very busy out there at Homestead, Miami this weekend. And hopefully I'm pretty sure we'll hear from him on Monday night, so we'll get a chance to do that on Monday night.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, and I hope you have a great, enjoyable weekend and are able to enjoy the races.
Well, I'm looking forward to it for sure, and I will definitely be tuning in. So thank you again, and I hope you, too, enjoy your weekend of NASCAR racing, and we'll see you on the other side on Monday night, okay?
Sounds great. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Sharon. Have a good one.
Bye-bye now.